Well, we'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I've been thinking about this part of the week here. I've just been so inspired by the thought of stirring up the gift of God that's in us. And I was thinking about the gift of God and what God puts in our lives. You know, the Lord put in each one of us something quite different, didn't He? And yet we're so much the same, and yet so different. We're all different in our personalities and who we are. And we're all different in the contributions that we make to the work of the Lord. And I was thinking about a illustration that might help bring a thought home. You know, there's a little special something that makes things really taste right when you eat them. When you get a cake, a pie, a meal, meat, isn't it amazing when meat has been bathed in soy sauce or whatever, and onions and whatever's put in there, and how much different it tastes than just cooking the meat? It really changes it, doesn't it? It's a very different taste and very pleasing, at least to me. And the things that we enjoy, there's a lot of things that make that up, the things we enjoy. It's like a meal. It's not pie. It's not potatoes. It's not meat. It might be all of the above. And you know, in our congregation here, I just look at the potential and how great the potential is of each one. Because I see every single person here as a possible real contributor to making things what it can be. Amen. And we appreciate what it is. Greatly appreciate what it is. But, you know, I think sometimes we fail to recognize that within us, I'm talking each one of us individually, there's something special that God put there. And it is to be a blessing and a contribution. And sometimes I doubt we really recognize that. But I hope by the time we're done this morning, I would like the Lord to speak to each one of us. Because I know that there are spiritual contributions. There are natural contributions. Do you think that the only contributions that are valuable here are contributions given simply by the Spirit of the Lord, spiritual gifts? Or do you think that there's natural gifts too that the Lord can use? For instance, some people are really good at hosting and being very, very good at having people over. Others are, there's so many different gifts that people can be, and I want to mention some of those later in the message, Lord willing. But you know, this morning, we all have some of those things. Yes, amen. I want to repeat that, and I want to ask us if we believe it. We all, have some of those things. Yes. Because we're God's creation. The cake here, the pie that's put together here, the meal, is a contribution of many people and not just one or two. And I have found that sometimes the quietest people can have some of the best ideas. And, you know, those ideas themselves are contributions. And the helping of putting things together are contributions. Jesus spoke of talents in the Bible. And he spoke of those were responsibilities that the man that owned the kingdom or whatever that went away, that he had given to each one. When he left, he gave them each one a charge. You've got a talent. You've got 10 talents. You've got 5 talents, or however it was, 2 talents. And, you know, he passed out those things, didn't he? Do you think that Jesus was just speaking in words that we can't understand? I think he was telling us, you got a talent. You've got something to share as one of my people. And so this morning, I want us to think a little outside the box, okay? Because I really believe in spiritual gifts. I know what it means for God to reach down and call and say, I want you to do this. But I also know what it means to just pitch in who we are and be a part of things, because it really matters this morning. You know, Paul the Apostle, he was on the road to Damascus, and he was struck down by a bright light, wasn't he? And he heard a voice speaking to him. And you know, Paul went on then into the city, and it says here in Acts 9 and 15, Ananias, the Lord spoke to Ananias, and he told him, I want you to go over here to Saul. And, you know, he told him that. And Ananias was like, well, Lord, you know, this man's been doing all these things. You know, he had his hesitations. But the Lord told Ananias, he said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Do you know that God had a very special gift and call for Paul? He wanted him to preach the gospel. He wanted him to carry the gospel to people that never heard it before. He wanted him to testify to people that were going to turn around and stone him. He wanted him to go through thick and thin, through shipwreck and all kinds of things. And the Lord said, he's a chosen vessel. I want him to go. And didn't Paul go before Festus? And I wrote down a few of them. Felix and King Agrippa and Bernice. All those were rulers. And you know, he was called to testify before them. And then he went to Rome. And Paul was called to that. Do you remember Timothy? You know, Timothy was called to the ministry, and he assisted Paul. And then you know what the Lord did? He called Timothy to pastor at Ephesus. And so Timothy went there. He had a call upon his life. And this morning, I want to look at a few things, but I want to go a little further here. In Acts 9, we want to turn and read a little reading here. Because here's one that you might not consider this a gift of the Spirit. And yet, was it? It was a real contribution, Acts 9 and 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now, you know, I don't know much about Dorcas. I don't know if she had much of a tongue to speak much in public. I kind of doubt it. But it said, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And so Peter put them all out and raised her from the dead. But you know, this woman put a little spice in the place she was at, the congregation, the group there that she was a part of. She put a little spice in that was really sweet. And when she died, the people, the widows all came crying showing Paul, this is what Dorcas did, and this is how valuable she was to us. Do you know this morning, I don't think we're all just unlike that. We all have a little bit of spice to add to the meal. All of us. You know Barnabas? Barnabas befriended Paul. Now we hear about Paul a lot. Paul wrote a lot of letters to us, didn't he? Maybe he didn't know he was writing them all to us, but we're using them today. But you know what? There was somebody that saw that Paul had gotten saved, and they knew that he was not going to be well accepted by everybody because he was a mean man. He had some of them put to death. He had some of their friends put in prison. It was not easy to say, is this guy for real, or is he coming back to snoop out and see what he can do more mean? But Barnabas saw him. And he saw who he was and how changed he was. And he came back and he said, and he befriended Paul and brought him in and helped make a place for him. You know, not everybody can do that. But Barnabas could do that. He had the mindset of it. He had the gift of it to do that. Do you know this morning that was Barnabas? You know that was valuable this morning? You know, Jesus, in John 15 and 15, we know that's the chapter there about the vine and all of that. But it goes on down to say in verse 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. You know, this morning, I want us to hear the voice of the Lord this morning. He said, I've called you friends. I haven't called you servants. I've called you friends. Do you know that the Lord is wanting to do that to us today? He wants to say, I've called, in the past, you know, I called you as a sinner. I called you from where you were, but now you're my friend. And he goes on to say, the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He may give it you. Do you know this morning, the Lord is... He is growing a garden. My wife grows a garden. I just assist her a little bit. But you know what? When you grow a garden, it's nice to see fruit come on. I've heard some people, and people come up to us and say, you know, well, we grew big plants, but there was no fruit. No fruit. We didn't have a bit of fruit, or we had one tomato on our whole plant for the year. Well, you know, all I can say is there's something wrong with that. There's a missing element somewhere. Because if you get the things right, it brings forth fruit. And God wants to do that in our lives. And He loves fruit just like we do. And He's growing His garden. And He has all kinds of different fruit. He has all kinds of vegetables. He has all kinds of things that make that garden up. You know, this morning, the Lord has His eye on your plant. He does. And He longs for it to bring forth its fruit this morning. You know, there are gifts of the Spirit, as we said, when God chooses someone for a special work. I love to see that. When you can see that God has placed His Spirit on a person for a special work. I want to encourage all of us to make ourselves available to the Lord. Lord, I really want You to have Your way, because I believe that's the best way it can be, is God's way. I really believe that we can throw our arms open and say, Lord, I really want You to just work in my life any way You want to. Because I believe that's the best it can be. That's the best it can be. So, you know, gifts and things like that, I want to challenge us this morning. They take exercise. Gifts take diligence. Gifts and works of the Lord takes a honing. It takes a meshing together with the rest. Gifts take, it takes effort. Gifts take prayer. It takes, there's something behind it that the Lord is able to work, and it takes some things. It's something that that takes some upkeep and some maintenance this morning. And I want to bear this out by the scripture here in a moment. You know, life has a way that things that are hot get cold. Is that right? You get something hot, set it down, it's going to get cold. You grow a garden, and you have the best garden there is, and you leave it for a bit, and it'll grow weeds. And it'll start growing big, tall weeds if you're not careful. And it'll overtake your garden. And you know, fire. We burn some wood in the winter. We supplement our heat. And I found that it goes out. Unless you add to it. Unless you stir it. Unless you make it work. And so this morning, I want to think about that a little bit in our lives. I want to think about stirring up what God has given to us. The gift of God. The spiritual gift of God. Stirring up the natural gift that He gave you in life. Because see, we're all gifted. Whether you realize it or not, you're gifted. Maybe we need to look a little deeper. Lord, how did you? Well, what is my blessing? What is the way that you can work a little more through me? We heard a special song this morning. Do you know that means something to me? I believe that adds a piece to the service that makes it very different. We heard two specials this morning, didn't we? Those things add, don't they? In 2 Timothy 1 and 6, I want to read what Paul wrote to Timothy. And listen carefully to this. 2 Timothy 1 and 6. He said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, this word, stir up, I want to look at it. If you look in the Greek, it says, from a compound of the base, well, it's from G303 and a compound of the base to others, to rekindle. And it's used in scriptures here to say to stir up. The other two things that word, the anatomy of that word comes from is a live thing and fire. It means literally to stir up the fire. That's where that word kind of comes from. And so I want to read what Clark says about that so that we can get a clear picture here of what Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy, I want you to stir up the gift of God that is in you. Clark says this gift is represented here under the notion of a fire. If it be not frequently stirred up and fresh fuel added to it, it will go out. This is the precise idea which the apostle had in his mind. Hence the term which signifies to stir up the fire, to add fresh fuel to it. From this it plainly appears that if Timothy had not continued to be a daily worker with God, he would have received the grace of God in vain. The Latins have a similar metaphor. And he spells it out in Latin, to stir up the sparks of genius. Do you know what Paul, I believe, is telling Timothy here is, Timothy, just like a fire is stirred up, and I've had to build a bunch of fires, and what I found is that I can take that stick, that metal rod, and move it back and forth in there, and all of a sudden this tremendous heat starts coming out of there. And you stir that up, and you throw fresh fuel onto it, and it begins to blaze and come up. And Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, you stir up the gift of God that is in you. Don't just let it be. Don't just accept the fact that, yeah, God called me and all my zeal is gone and I've kind of went to sleep on the job. Folks, the Lord wants us to stir things up. He wants it to be rekindled and fervent and hot. And you know where that comes from? It comes because, like he told Timothy, Timothy, stir it up. Timothy, don't just let it fall, dry out. Don't let it just cool off until there isn't any fire left. I want to encourage us this morning. You have some contributions to make. Will we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I took my talent. It wasn't worth much, and I was embarrassed to offer it, and I hid it, and I buried it. You know what he called that? He called it a wicked servant. He said, thou wicked servant. That's what he said there in the scriptures. Do you know this morning that the Lord wants you and me to offer our gift to the Lord? And he wants us to take care of it. I believe not only the spiritual gift, and I believe in spiritual callings and gifts. Without it, the church would be really minus a lot of the movement of the Spirit of the Lord. But folks, it's not all. In a cake, you might put a lot of flour and some things like that. But without a little sweetener and a little bit of other things, it wouldn't be too tasty, would it? I want to tell you, the Lord wants to make His work a reflection of His work, of His handiwork in each life. He wants to make His work something that really reflects what God is doing. And sometimes we allow ourselves to just be there. And the Lord really would like us to have color and life and passion and all those things. And He really wants that. And it happens on purpose. It happens because we stir it up. Because we give of ourselves. We put fresh fuel on it. We put a little more sacrifice into it. We're there when we're needed to be there. And we say yes. I was talking to a brother this week about this very thing. And from that point, I was inspired about this. But you know what? We were just talking back and forth. You know, we have to do this, don't we? Because if we don't, we're all going to do what nature does. It just cools off. And so I want to encourage us this morning to go back and look at ourselves and say, okay, now wait a minute. I believe the Lord has something for me too. He's got at least one talent. He does. He's got at least one. If we deny that, we're denying the Lord. So He has something there for us. And let's think about it this morning. I think He was telling Timothy, Timothy, I want your lamp to burn bright. Trim the wick. Put fresh oil in. Let's make sure. I know the Lord has to work with us on all those things. But I will tell you, if you've ever kindled a fire, it is truly amazing the process that happens by. It's truly an amazing thing to watch a fire burn. In 1 Timothy 4, I want to notice a couple things here though. Now we read this scripture many, many times. Okay, we all know it really well. We've used it, haven't we? For the scripture following that about stir up says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you know what Paul was writing this in reference to? Timothy, your gift. Stir it up. Don't let fear keep you from offering to the Lord. He said, we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the Lord wants us to use it. He wants us to recognize, I have a contribution to make, and I'm going to make it. And I'm going to stir it up. I'm not going to let it sit on the sideline. And then he goes on to say, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. I'm in jail, I'm in prison, I know. But don't be ashamed of it. Take the reproach of the gospel and do the work of the Lord. And stir it up. And make sure your life is giving to the Lord. And letting Him use your gift. And letting Him use your natural abilities as well as the gift. Okay? But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, if we're not willing to be a partaker of any afflictions, we're not going to ever amount to anything in the Lord. We're going to have to be willing to be afflicted, to have some problems come our way. But what does the Lord tell us? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all, doesn't He? That's what He says. I live by that, folks. I know I might get afflicted one day, but I know the next day I might be well. Because that's the Lord. That's who He is. When we're His property, He takes good care of us, folks. And He'll use our lives. Now listen to what He told Timothy in the first letter He sent. Over here in the 4th chapter, 13th verse, He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Timothy, be sure that you're diligent about these things. They have a lot to do with how the Lord uses you. So we want the Lord to use us. Well, then be diligent. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Study it. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Don't neglect it. Neglect, we all kind of know what that word means, don't we? To be careless of. That's the Greek. To be careless of. Don't be careless of the gift God's given us. But He says, the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Now, is the Lord wanting us to get on stage here where we can be seen and our profiting appear? I want to tell you, He's the gardener and He wants there to be some fruit in our life that makes the gardener look good. That's what He wants. He wants our lives to be a reflection of the Spirit of the Lord and of sacrifice and of willing to lay ourselves down that the Lord might be glorified. He's the gardener. And He wants us to make Him look good. I believe that. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I didn't read the 12th verse, but I want to just notice it quickly. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. If we're not an example of the believers first, we'll never be able to be effective. So the first thing we have to do is be an example of the believer in our life. Get a hold of the grace of God. And then be willing to let the Lord use our lives in some way. And it don't have to be a big way. Many times the little taste that we get in the cake, we don't even know what it is. We just know it really, there's something really good about that. And I'll be asking Rosie, what's that taste? What is it? What's that seasoning that you put on that meat? That is really good this time. Do you know today, do you know that's what the Lord wants to do in His congregations and among His people and in our personal lives? He wants to make it that way. I want to look over here in Matthew 13 and read just a little of the parable of the talents. Matthew 13 and we'll start at verse 8. We'll start at verse 3, I'm sorry. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. That's what happens to some people's gift. It just, they don't understand it. It just flies by the wayside. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you know this morning, the Lord never required every person to produce the same amount of whatever. He just expects us to let Him work through us. And He said some produce 30-fold and some 60 and some 100-fold. 100-fold. Do you know that there's little plants? I was reading about one. I think one plant, I don't know how many thousands of seeds one plant can produce. God does that, doesn't He? I don't look at the plant and say, wow, that's an amazing thing there. I do, but I think God made that. What an amazing thing God did here. But He went on, and they didn't understand the parable very well. And if you drop on down to verse 18, Jesus starts explaining this. This is key to where we are at with this. He said, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now let me ask you something. What should this person have done that didn't understand it? But the seed fell there. The word of God fell on their heart, and they knew it. There was something there that they woke up to. It would have been well for them to stop and figure it out. Understand it. Look into it, don't you think? Okay, but he that received the seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. His roots never go down very deep. You know why? Because there's something hard under the ground. There's just a little bit of ground there. And as soon as the root hits that, whatever hard it is, resistance to God's will, whatever that is, unforgiveness, a love of the world, whatever it is, and they realize, hey, I'm not willing to give that up. Maybe they don't say it like that, but they do it. And you know what? It can't prosper, can it? And by, when a little something hard comes, they don't have any root, any strength coming from the Lord, and it blows them over, right? We have to get rid of those hard places. And so, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, I want to tell you something. The Lord is looking for fruit. He's looking for stuff to come out of our life, blessings to come forth. And he said here that the ones among the thorns, that kind of reaches all of us here, doesn't it? And we are constantly having to be on guard for this, aren't we? Because it says the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and choke the word. It's not that you throw it out. It's that it just forms a stranglehold on you. And pretty soon you're just too involved. So involved that it can't prosper, right? Have we all had to fight that? We're there, aren't we? We're there. We know what we're talking. We all know what we're talking about here. I want to tell you, we have to keep these things in place. Stir up the gift. You know, we might have to get the ice cubes out of the way and put the wood on there and put the sacrifice on there and go ahead and stir that up and let it burn brightly. The Lord wants that this morning. It's things that we know to do and that we do. And that's what makes this work this morning, because God honors that. But he that receives seed, and I love this verse, listen to this. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And he don't have one negative thing to say about the one that brought forth 30. That's just fine. The one talent, it's just fine. But we are all to bring forth according to what the gardener gave us. And so this morning, I want our challenge to be, whether we minister in preaching, or singing, or writing, or the financial affairs, or the groundskeeping, or the sending of cards, or entertaining guests, or giving, and all of those things, and many others, I want to encourage us this morning that we don't become lax, but that we stay in step with the Lord and with His work through us. That we don't just give what we want to give, but that we let the gardener grow through us and produce fruit that is a real blessing to the cause. And that brings real glory to His name. I want to tell you, there's something wonderful about going out and seeing a tree that's loaded with limes or lemons. We've got a lemon tree. And it's just neat to go out there and see all these lemons hanging over there. And they grow bigger and better, and then they mature, and you can kind of pick them as you want them. And it's beautiful. You know, there's a lot of things. Now, that the grasshoppers like that thing too. And they jump on those leaves and they eat those lemon tree leaves. I don't know why. They like them better than anything else, I think. And so they'll eat them like that. But you know what? We're in real life, folks. We can stop the eating of the grasshoppers. We have something to say about our life and how it's lived. And I want to encourage us that whatever God has given to you and me, let's do it. Let's make sure that we put our part in and that we don't allow the enemy to steal from us and to steal our life. Let's seek to be a blessing. Is that okay to seek to be a blessing? Is it okay to stir that up in our hearts and minds? I think everybody should entertain a little bit. At least I would like to see it. That's my thoughts. But you know what? If you're good at entertaining, or if you can't, do it. Bring somebody home with you. Have hospitality. Do you know how far it goes to have hospitality? I know sometimes we have our own family over, but we try to have somebody over almost every Sunday. Folks, it's a real blessing to them and to you as well. Be willing to be brought over. I know there was a time in my life when I was young that I liked our home. And I still love our home, but I just wanted it to be us. And I really didn't like the idea of sharing it. I had to learn. I had to learn to be hospitable. I had to open my doors. And I didn't have to open them very much because my wife opened them. And she helped me. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful because now I love it. I thrive on it. You know what, folks? We can change. And we go from one place to another, one level to another in degrees of being able to use those gifts. To where it's like, how can I? To where it's, let's go. And let's make it usable. Oh, I want to encourage us this morning. You know what? I heard about Emily and Kaylee going to Honduras. You know what? That just thrills my soul. It thrills me. You know why it thrills me? Because there's a whole bunch of good things going to happen here. I want to tell you, lives are changed like that. Rosie and I, when we were young, were privileged to travel around some in the work of the Lord. Brother Tommy would take us. He took us to meetings. He took us places. We became very involved in the things of God. Very exciting. Very excited. And it ruined us the rest of our life for anything else. Do you know, when I see these young sisters doing this, to me it's just so, it's overwhelming. Thank you, Lord. When I see folks get up here, young sisters, young men, I want to encourage you. If you can sing, pray to God to make you a blessing and get up and sing. Now, I'm not throwing anything. I'm challenging you. I'm telling you something that'll bless your life. Is it hard? Sure it is. Throw the wood on the fire and let it burn. Because the heat warms other people. And it brightens the room. Do you know that when I see all the things that are going, and I quickly named a list here, it's far more. And I say far more than just preaching. Folks, singing is very important. I urge you that are singers, and maybe that aren't, that might want to learn. I urge you to offer your gift. I think you'd be surprised at how that comes back to you and how the Lord blesses you through that. What a growth that it gives you. I want to encourage us that I just want to say how much I appreciate those that labor here. We have 7 acres here. It has to be kept up. I want to say again and again, thank you for the ones that work so hard to make that look right. Now you might say, how spiritual is that? It's very spiritual. Because it affects what we do here. Can you imagine driving up and the grass is all grown up and everything looks tacky around here, and people are like, well, these folks don't care about things, do they? No, I want to tell you something. We've got some good men that stand behind this. And I want to encourage us. Work at it. Let your gift be given to the Lord. If we give it to people, we're going to be disappointed, because we might go years and never get a thank you hardly with some things. And I've given years that seemed like we were given and given, and nobody ever said anything hardly. And I'm not faulting anybody. I'm just saying, you just got to give to the Lord. And then I've seen times when lots of people said thank you. You know, That's appreciated, isn't it? But we give to the Lord. And so this morning, I want to tell you, it's a way that God has made, in part, to lift us out of our own troubles. I don't know if we believe that, but I want to tell you something. It is a piece of what God has given to bless us. It's a piece of what He has given to take us beyond our spiritual battles and our spiritual trials. It's a piece of what He has given to you and me to ensure that we make it to heaven all the way through. So stir it up. So stop and take inventory a little bit. You know what? I got to stir this thing up. I got to make sure this is happening. Young folks, make sure it happens. It's really an awesome thing. Look to be a blessing. It provides growth. It'll influence your life for the rest of your life. It changes who we are when we make ourselves available and useful in the Lord's kingdom. And I want to tell you something else that you may not realize. His pay is so rewarding. Can I say that again? His pay is so rewarding. Because He pays in ways that aren't always dollar bills. He pays in ways that blesses us for a lifetime. You want to bless your children? Do this here. Stir up the gift. Give of yourself. Let it be so. Put the wood on the fire. Put the sacrifice in there. Stir it up. And don't say, well, I don't feel inspired anymore. Hey, I want to tell you something. Get inspired. Is that all right? Get inspired. Let's let the Lord use us and make our contribution valuable. And I want to say this. I want to thank the Lord for each and every one in the congregation. And I say that, each and every one. Folks, we all have a place here. We can work at it together. And we can make it a blessing. And it can be a blessing. And your life can expand more than you thought, because what the Lord said with the talents was, He said, take the one that I gave one to and give them two. And the one that I gave two to and give them four. Give them four cities. And I believe what He was talking about there was, He was talking about where He went off this and to possess another kingdom in one of them. And I don't remember how many talents in that one. But He went off to possess a kingdom. And so what He was looking for was somebody that would be faithful in these little talents that He gave them. And then when He needed somebody to go and take care of four cities, He took the one that had taken care of two talents. And He said, I want you to go over here and I've got four cities. I want you to be over those four cities. Because He found somebody that was faithful in the place He had put them. Oh, I pray to God this morning. I pray, Lord, increase us. Lord, use our gifts. When we come in here, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, exhortations, the Word of God, singing, special songs, all those things. Oh, let the color come in. The Lord bless each one of us today, and you pray for us.